We're continuing in the book of Genesis, the series. Today we'll look at chapters 40 and 41. The title is, People Forget, God Remembers. Now, as we go through this, and we do need to get to the second reading at some point, but look back in your bulletin, and once you're thinking about some questions while we look at these two chapters. So the questions are in the bulletin, inside the back cover there. It's got the date, People Forget, God Remembers, Genesis 49 to 41. Here's the first question. There are four questions. They're not numbered, but there are four questions. Not three, but four. Joseph had dreamed that his family would bow to him. He dreamed that how many times? Twice. It's recorded in the Bible, two different dreams, I believe. It was at least two. I have a bad memory. But and then, after that, he was sold into slavery by his family. And then, after that, he ended up in a jail in a foreign country for attempted rape. Then why would Joseph think his dream interpretations had meaning? In other words, that they held any weight, that they held water. Why would he think that? He dreams he's going to be ruling over his family. They'd be bowing to him. They sell him into slavery. Huh? He was trusting. Yeah, he was trusting. Let's go to the next question. So as we go through these, just think about, keep these in your mind, you know. Then, so why would he think his dreams held any water? Next question, why would Pharaoh think Joseph's dream interpretations were correct? Okay, you said, yeah, Joseph was trusting. Was Pharaoh trusting God? Why would he believe him? So just think about that. You don't have to answer now. Just think about that one. And then, why was Joseph waiting in jail for 2 years? What was the purpose in that? And then, why did God consign Joseph to these situations? You know. Now, there's a fifth question. Should we ask why? No. Okay. In our life, don't ask why. Just ask, what am I supposed to do? You remember Jim Gable said that once. I like that. Don't ask why. Ask, what am I supposed to do, God? Help me to know what to do. You know, by your word. And with the aid of your spirit, you know, and through prayer, what am I supposed to do? You know, the why, don't ask why. Okay? You know, Job asked why. Did he get an answer? Nope. He didn't get an answer. God just said, "Hey, where were you when I did all these things? I'm all powerful." Job just said, "I just bow down before you, God. I felt a little too highly of myself there, but anyway. But we can ask why when we look at the Bible. Okay, we can ask why things are happening. That's fine. Just don't ask about your own life. Why is this happening, God? You're not going to get a good answer. Okay. It's just going to confuse you. It's just going to make you depressed. Just ask God, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Anyway, I'm not going into details on that. You know, the question of suffering. I'm not going into details on the question of suffering because, you know, sometimes God is chastising us, you know. And so we do need to wonder, you know, oh, God, are you chastising me? But you know, there's different things there, but just to say why, me oh my. No, don't ask why. But we are asking why in these cases about the Bible, because we want to understand it. And maybe we don't have an answer always, but we want to ask these questions. I'm looking at Genesis 49. It's Genesis 40, not 49. That's just wrong on that one page there. Genesis 40. And I think you all remember maybe that Joseph's my favorite guy in the Bible. Joseph. Y'all have favorite people in the Bible besides Jesus? Obviously, we all love Jesus. Y'all have favorites? Who's your favorite person in the Bible? David. There you go. There's a lot about David, and he's got a very complex history. David's a real good one. Anyone else? Yeah. You know, it's like hymns and me. That's my favorite hymn. Oh, well, they're all favorites. Hard to pick a favorite. All right. Same with people in the Bible. Okay. So chapter 40 starts out. It says, then it came about after these things that the cupbearer and the baker for the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was furious with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. So he put them in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard in the jail, the same place where Joseph was imprisoned. Uh-huh. See, there's a purpose in all these things, right? Right? See how Pharaoh getting mad at his two officials, there's a purpose in that, right? But Pharaoh doesn't have to need to know, and those people don't need to know. But we know, because they're in trouble and getting into jail because Joseph's there. God's sending those two people in, right, to be with Joseph. Ah, then he's going to give those two men dreams, right? There's a purpose in all of it. The captain of the bodyguard put Joseph in charge of them, and he took care of them, and they were in confinement for some time. Then the cupbearer, so I mentioned 2 years here at some point, but you know, there's a lot of time going on here besides those 2 years that's listed. But verse 5, then the cupbearer and the baker for the king of Egypt, who were confined in jail, both had a dream the same night, each man with his own dream, and each dream with its own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning and observed them, behold, they were dejected. He asked Pharaoh's officials who were with him in confinement in the master's house, why are your faces so sad today? Then they said to him, we have had a dream, and there is no one to interpret it. Then Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell it to me, please. So, as Wade has said, it appears that Joseph has a lot of faith that God is giving him interpretations of dreams. He's giving him dreams, but he's also giving him interpretations of dreams. And he says, well, maybe God will give me the interpretation of this dream. So tell me the dream. He's not taking pride in his ability. It's not his ability. He says, it's God's ability to interpret these things. God sent these two men there. God gave them the dreams. God can give me an interpretation if it's his will. Interpretations belong to God. Should we look for interpretations for all our dreams? I don't think so. But there's nothing wrong with thinking about our dreams and wondering, I wonder why I dreamt that, you know. Maybe there's a reason. I had some strange dreams lately. I forget them very quickly, though. So unless you write them down, you know, they go poof. I don't know. Is that the way with you? Yeah. Sometimes I don't even remember I had the dream, but I had some dreams lately. Anyway, but it was impressed on them that these dreams were significant for some reason. We don't know why. Sometimes people feel a dream is significant. But verse 9, so the chief's cupbearer told his dreams to Joseph, or his dream to Joseph, and said to him, in my dream, behold, there was a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches, and as it was budding, its blossoms came out, and its clusters produced ripe grapes. Now, Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, so I took the grapes and squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. Now, see, that's sort of his job, right? He's like a security official, making sure that no one kills the Pharaoh with poison wine. Okay? And he's the cupbearer. If he brings the wine to Pharaoh, he's basically saying, Pharaoh, this is safe. Okay? He's a high official. He's not just some servant. Okay? He's a security chief, in some sense. Then Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office. And you will put Pharaoh's cup into his hand according to your former custom when you were his cupbearer. Only keep me in mind when it goes well with you. And please do me a kindness by mentioning me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. So you need to be thinking, you know, about these questions here, you know. Why does Joseph think his dream interpretations had meaning? Well, he apparently is a prophet, right? Joseph. And so, by being a prophet, God's in communication with him. He's able to interpret the dreams. That must be part of that. But, if I were him and I'd had a dream that I'm going to be in charge of my family and then the family into slavery and then I'm in jail for attempted rape, I'd be starting to doubt, but he's having a lot of faith that God is going to fulfill these things in spite of appearances. Appearances can be misleading temporarily. You might be in a situation, you say, things don't seem to be working out right. Well, God's in control. Things are working out according to God's plan. Be assured. Well, he goes on and he says, for I was in fact kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing that they should have put me into the dungeon, because it was a trumped up charges, you know. Bunch of lies. So when the chief baker saw that he had interpreted favorably, you know, the interpretation was good for him, he said to Joseph, it was good for the other guy. So now the baker says, oh yeah, well, I'm next. Oh, that's easy. let's get my dream out there. Okay, what is your name? Okay. Here we go. I also saw in my dream, and behold, there were 3 baskets of white bread on my head. And in the top basket, there were some of all sorts of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head. Then Joseph answered and said, this is its interpretation. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Okay, so far so good. Sounds a lot like the other guy's interpretation. Within 3 more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and will hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh off you. Oh boy. Thus it came about on the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his office, and he put the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker just as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Yes, the one that got the favorable interpretation and then was replaced into his former position and of high rank, forgot about Joseph. You do something good for somebody, and what do? They kick you in the teeth. That's the way it is. But Joseph is not therefore depressed or committing suicide or beating up the prisoners that he has charge of, right? He has charge of some prisoners. No, he's being patient. But then look at the next verse. Now it happened at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream. So now, 2 years later, Joseph had to wait 2 full years continuing in this under false accusations of attempted rape in jail before anything was going to happen. Now, so, you know, I think one of the things that helped Joseph here is he saw both of these interpretations fulfilled. If you're a prophet, you know, sometimes you have prophecies of long distant things, but sometimes you have prophecies of things that are going to happen soon also. And if you see something soon, that's a confirmation that God is working through you and speaking to you, and it's a confirmation to the people that are listening. Okay. Ah, you were right in short term, you'll be right in the long term. Okay. So this is what's happening here. He had a dream, and he interpreted it, and he said, in 3 days, this is what's going to happen to you, and this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to be elevated. You're going to be elevated on the gallows. And those both happened in 3 days. So whereas Joseph's earlier dreams of being in charge of his family weren't immediately fulfilled, now maybe this is giving him some reassurance from God, right? That these things will happen. You just have to wait. You got to wait. You've been waiting a long time already, okay? And now you got to wait 2 more years after he saw this fulfillment. Has God forgotten him? No, God hasn't forgotten him. But 2 years later, he had to have faith, and in 2 years, the fulfillment came. Why is it 2 years? Why was Joseph waiting in jail for 2 years? I don't know. You know? I don't know. But the trying of your faith works patience, says James, right? And so this was working patience in Joseph, we know, because the Bible tells us. You know, why did God consign Joseph to these situations? We're still thinking about these, and why did Pharaoh listen to Joseph? Okay, well, let's see what happens here. Is Joseph like Dr. Anthony Fauci? You know, Dr. Anthony Fauci reports to the president, and he says, "This is what's going to happen. We need to do this. We need to do this." And then the president says, "Sounds good to me." And then they do it, right? It's sort of similar. You know, but if any Joe comes up and says stuff, you got to have some background, right? This is just some Jewish slave who's in jail for attempted rape of the wife of the chief jailer or somebody. I forgot now. Yeah. And so why should he listen to him? So partly because he had these dreams about these other two fellas, right? And they were fulfilled in testimony of that one guy. Now, if Joseph had been released from jail immediately in those 3 days after, and the guy was elevated, he says, "You know, I got elevated by you, Pharaoh, but here's a guy in jail who told me it was going to happen. Huh. And he tells me that he's falsely accused. Could we let him out?" And Pharaoh might say, "Yes, we will." And maybe Joseph would have gone back to Israel. And that would have been the end of everything. The rest of the Bible would have been terminated. So Joseph had to wait 2 years until it was the time for that dream to come and the famine, time for the famine. Okay. Anyway, you know, just some interesting things to think about. So let's look at his dream. So let's look at Pharaoh's dream. He was standing by the Nile. Chapter 41, verse 2. "And lo, from the Nile there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed in the marsh grass. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them from the Nile, ugly and gaunt. And they stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. The ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 sleek and fat cows. Then Pharaoh awoke. He fell asleep and dreamed a second time, and behold, 7 ears of grain came up with a single stalk, plump and good. Then behold, 7 ears thin and scorched by the east wind sprouted up after them. The thin ears swallowed up the 7 plump and full ears. Then Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Now in the morning, his spirit was troubled." So likewise, you know, why does he think there's anything significant about this? But God is putting in his mind, this is a significant dream. You've got to do something about this. And he worried about it. So he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt, all the Faucis of Egypt, all the medical people, all the dream interpreters, actually, magicians of Egypt, and all its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them to Pharaoh. You know, Daniel, I think if I have this right, Daniel interpreted a dream, and he interpreted a dream, and he told the ruler what the dream was without even being told. The king said, "Tell me my dream," and then the interpretation. They're like, "How are we going to tell you what your dream was?" But Daniel knew what the dream was. See, Joseph didn't in this case didn't do that. Okay, he just had to interpret the dream, but he had the assurance of the cupbearer, right? So anyway, verse 9. Then the chief cupbearer spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I would make mention today of my own offenses. Pharaoh was furious with his servants, and he put me in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard, both me and the chief baker. We had a dream on the same night. He and I, each of us, dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now, a Hebrew youth, what are you bringing up a Hebrew youth for? We live here in Egypt, one of the great kingdoms of the world. We are the ones that built the pyramids. We are the ones who rule this vast region along the Nile, worship Ra. But now you tell me about a Hebrew youth. He was in jail. A Hebrew youth was with us there, a servant of the captain of the bodyguard, and we related them to him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each one he interpreted according to his own dream. And just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me in my office, but he hanged him. So I think we see maybe this is why Pharaoh would believe Joseph, perhaps. But of course, ultimately God is in control. But usually things happen according to logical paths. It's not everything's not a miracle. We shouldn't make everything a miracle, because then everything's a miracle, and there's no connection between anything, right? Then Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph. And they hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon. When he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, but no one can interpret it. And I have heard it said about you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Joseph then answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. So he gives credit to God. There he is, a poor Hebrew slave in jail. But he's brave enough to give testimony to Yahweh, okay? So he doesn't mention Yahweh by name, but he says God. So Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, and he gives the dream, and so we'll skip by that. Verse 24, and the thin ears swallowed the seven good ears. Then I told it to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's dreams are one and the same. You know, it's funny because the chief baker and the cupbearer, their dreams seem the same, but they are opposite. Pharaoh has two dreams. In this case, they're the same. They are the same. God has told to Pharaoh what he's about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years. The seven good ears are 7 years. The dreams are one and the same. The seven lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven thin ears scorched by the east wind will be 7 years of famine. It is as I've spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. Behold, 7 years of great abundance are coming in all the land of Egypt. And after them, 7 years of famine will come and all the abundance will be forgotten. And the famine will ravage the land. Sounds like this year. Or last year, too, in some ways. We've forgotten what it was like to be free. You know, what was it like to be free? And then now this year, we've forgot what it was like to have a good economy, you know, and a secure border. So it seems like every year there's something new to change our memories. In their case, there'll be 7 years of abundance. But then there's going to be 7 years of famine. And you'll forget about that abundance. You'll be like, you'll feel like it's been a famine forever. Once you get married, you're like, what was it like to be single? I have no idea. I've always been married, haven't I? I don't know. You forget. So the abundance will be unknown in the land because of that subsequent famine, for it will be very severe. Now, as for the repeating of the dream to Pharaoh twice, it means that the matter is determined by God, and God will quickly bring it about. Now, let Pharaoh look for a man discerning and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh take action and appoint overseers in the charge of the land, and let them exact a fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 years of abundance. Then let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming, and store up the grain for food in the cities under Pharaoh's authority, and let them guard it. Let the food become his reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which will occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land will not perish during the famine. So, gives him detailed instructions. That's amazing right there. He doesn't just say, look, you got 7 years of of abundance and 7 years of famine, that's the dream. Then he tells them, this is what you got to do. So Joseph is also very wise, right? So very wise. Some people say, oh, he was so unwise because he told his brothers about his dream, you know, and things like that. But he seems wise. Now, the proposal seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his servants. Why? Because there was some evidence to them that that Joseph could interpret dreams. So all that was necessary. So then Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this? Joseph says, find somebody wise. Who's wise? In whom is a divine spirit. Ooh. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has informed you of all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and according to your command, all my people shall do homage. Only in the throne I will be greater than you. Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over the land of Egypt, all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took off his signet ring and from his hand and put on Joseph's hand, and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put the gold necklace around his neck. He had him ride in the second chariot, and they proclaimed before him, bow the knee. And he set him over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, though I am Pharaoh, yet without your permission, no one shall raise his hand or look or foot in all the land of Egypt. You want to take a step? You want to move your hand? You want to go somewhere? You want to do some work with your hand or move with your foot? You're in control of everything. It's an autocracy. You're in command. You're it. Then Pharaoh named Joseph Zephanath-Paneah. Zephanath-Paneah, it might mean God speaks, he lives. It says in my footnote here. But he gave him Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, and it's his wife, and Joseph went forth over the land of Egypt. So Joseph married an Egyptian woman of high rank. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Wow. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. During 7 years of plenty, the land bore forth abundantly. You know, it was abundant. They only had to store up a fifth of whatever they were producing to have enough for the 7 years. You think, well, you should store up like half of it, you know. But it was so abundant, they only needed to store up a fifth of it. Now, before the year of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bore to him. Joseph named the first one Manasseh, for he said, God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household. He named the second Ephraim, for he said, God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Now, the birth of Jesus is not from Joseph, right? The birth of Jesus is from Judah. Joseph's brother, half-brother, Judah, right? But there's more than one tribe in Israel. Judah is the tribe that brings forth Jesus. But there are other important tribes, right? And these two tribes are interesting. One reason is Israel loved Joseph so much. He said, Joseph, I'm going to count your two sons as like they're my sons, even though they're grandsons. So therefore, they got land in the promised land as if they were full-ranking brothers of the other brothers, the sons of Israel. Okay, so Ephraim and Manasseh are two regions in Israel. Once it was divided up under Joshua and others. And so that's just some simple significance there of those tribes, but this is probably more, but he said, and named the second Ephraim, for he said, God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. When the 7 years of plenty had been in the land of Egypt came to an end, then the 7 years of famine began to come, just as Joseph had said. Then there was famine in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. So when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried out to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph. Whatever he says to you, you shall do. When the famine was spread over all the face of the earth, then Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, and the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. The people of all the earth came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe in all the earth. So, later on, we'll see in the book, Genesis, that why did God consign Joseph to these situations? Well, what do you say? Yeah? Why did God put Joseph through all this? Later on, Joseph will tell us why. Okay? Maybe y'all remember. I mean, it's later in the book, but y'all have read it many and heard this so many times. Maybe you remember what Joseph says. His brothers had sold him into slavery. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And what was the good purpose that Joseph remarks? He meant it for good, and what was that good purpose? To save all these people alive, he said. Okay. This thing with the 7 years of abundance and 7 years of famine, later on Joseph will say, God meant it for good to save all these people alive. It was because I was there to interpret that dream, and then Pharaoh put me in charge, and we saved all these people alive. So, that's one reason, right? I mean, that's the reason Joseph gives. Hey, God is concerned about people. God wanted to save those people alive, and God's glorified for it, right? Man, this has just been recently. I think we just heard yesterday, the earthquake in Haiti. Have you heard? There was an earthquake in Haiti, more severe than the one that killed 250,000 people 10 years ago. In, I guess it was 2012. I'm not sure the exact year. But about 10 years ago, maybe you remember, there was a big earthquake in Haiti. And 250,000 people died. I'm sure some of those were just from infections, you know. But there's been another earthquake, and it was more severe, but depending on the exact location, you know, plus a lot of buildings that were weak were destroyed 10 years ago, so they won't fall down again. But there are just heavy stone buildings that are just a big crack strewn, and some have collapsed. Think about, I mean, we had that resort building fall down in Florida just recently, and over something like 100 people were killed. I forget the exact number now, but that was awful. They've got that all over the place now in Haiti, so it's just awful. But God is concerned with these people. Man, my mind is way back in the past right now. President Biden, that would be Bush Biden. Biden has immediately authorized emergency, action to help them. But it's awful. Okay, of course, we're also dealing with Afghanistan right now. But there are things going on. But we remember that God's in control. God's in control, and God is concerned with these people. So, did you have fun thinking about these questions that I gave you for this sermon today a little bit? I think it maybe engages your mind a little bit more to have some ideas that you're trying to think about while I talk about it instead of me just lecturing. But we'll try to do that some more. But praise the Lord that God brought about all these things. Very, very, very interesting. Very complex. God gets all the glory. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, thanks for this. Oh, we never did read that second. I'm sorry. We never did read the second reading, but I read all through that enough, so we won't do the second reading. I just forgot. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, thanks for providing for us. We are weak and you are strong. We don't know the future, but you sometimes reveal it in your word, and you are guiding and directing in our lives behind the scenes. We don't know where we're headed, but you do, and We just ask that you'd help us to apply the principles of your word and not worry, but continue to do what is good, even though it seems like we are suffering unnecessarily, as did Joseph, unlawfully, unfairly. And yet he continued to have a good attitude and continued forward and pressed forward, did not let it get him down, but instead it gave him patience. And so we thank you for his being good to this nation that had so mistreated him and to his family in the future. And help us to do the same according to your will that we see in your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.